I want to talk about another thing that's on everybody's mind today, and that's your stick-ups and your skyjackers, which, if that was up to me, I could end the skyjackers tomorrow.
You could?
All you got to do is arm all your passengers. And then he ain't got no more superiority there. He ain't going to dare to pull out no rod. And then your airlines, then they wouldn't have to chase the passengers on the ground no more. They just pass out the pistols at the beginning of the trip, and they pick them up again at the end. Page quote.
Don't take your guns to town.
It's the Sage, Larry Elder.
Larry Elder here, the sage from South Central, the prince of Pico Union, the czar of common sense, the great Eldersky, Don Lorenzo. Welcome to the program. No victocrats allowed because we've got a country to save. So let's get her teed up!
Do you want to play rock? Say hello to my new friend!
What the hell's going on out here?
Ooh, that's a bingo.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. Later on, I will play you the interview with Shannon Bream of Fox. I didn't realize she was an attorney. She interviewed Michael Avenatti, who is Stormy Daniels' lawyer. And still, nobody asked, isn't your client just trying to get more jack? She signed a deal right before the president became president, probably thought he was going to lose, and now realizes she sold cheap. Isn't that what this is all about? No one's even asked that. Is that just me? But first, for the next hour, I've got wing men. Donnie and Eitan, a brother duo, will be my guests, and we will be co-hosting for the next hour. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in.
Our pleasure, Larry.
Who's the youngest? He's the younger. That's you?
Yeah, I call him my little brother.
Okay, Eitan, you are up first. Where are you from?
Let's see. I was born in Spokane, Washington, and now I'm in San Diego.
What brought you to California?
My dad. He moved here, got a pulpit in Los Angeles, and at the time, moved with him.
What do you do?
I'm a school teacher.
What do you teach?
AP U.S. History and U.S. History.
Oh, outstanding. And Donnie?
Where am I from? The slums of Beverly Hills adjacent.
Everybody had to cross the bear. What are you going to do? Stepping all over those homeless people? Must be rough.
It's rough, brother.
What do you do for a living?
I'm an advertising creative director.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as between the two of you, who's the bad? Who's the bad one?
Me.
Eitan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the age difference?
3 years, 3.5 years?
2.5.
Do you guys get along growing up?
Nope. No. Not even close.
No.
You know, I don't know if you read my last book, Dear Father, Dear Son. It was about my family, and I had an awful relationship with my little brother, Dennis. He died some years ago. He was diabetic. We were 15 months apart. And I looked for the day when he and I would be able to be friends like you guys are. It never happened.
Oh.
Well, we can thank our sister for this.
Yes, we can. It all has to do with me having to put my tail between my legs and beg Eitan to use the bathroom that I stupidly gave up when I wanted a bigger bedroom, only to find out because he didn't tell me that my sister would use the bathroom not for 5 minutes, but for about an hour every morning.
Mm-hmm.
So,
talk to me about your parents.
Well, our mom was a licensed clinical social worker. She passed away in 2009, unfortunately, to cancer.
Mm-hmm. Our father, definitely a matriarchy.
Matriarchy. Mm-hmm. Dad is a retired rabbi, retired Air Force, was in the reserves for 28 years, happily remarried to a lovely woman, mm-hmm. and they live in Pasadena.
So what do you guys want to talk about? What's on your mind? What ticks you off?
Well, so Larry,
what's
you asked
upsetting
us,
you?
It's funny. Yeah. So you asked us for a monologue, and we thought, well,
how can we do this in a way other people possibly haven't?
Right. And then we said, it's not really a monologue. It's a bronologue because there's two of us. And then we thought, well, it can't just be a bronologue. It's got to be a bronologue the musical. So we prepared a little something for you.
Shall I phone a bro for the bronologue?
Right. You ready?
No, but we should do it anyways.
They say that socialism is a form of altruism, that it's really not so bad as you might think. 200 million dead, sure that's a lot, but who's counting? Equality of outcome, that's the thing. If you want your kids protected by a guard who is respected, because she's got a gun that can shoot back, Don't mention that her weapon has saved countless kids from death. That's what they call an inconvenient fact. Should you take it on the chin if the color of your skin is held against you as a mark of shame? Judging one another by what's outside, not what's in. Well, that's racism by any other name.
Is that what Dr. King said?
Yes, it is. Are you anti-immigration if you're worried about the nation? A bigot for believing in the law almost makes you stop and wonder about the flag we all live under. Do the stars and stripes mean anything at all? So, Eitan.
Yes, Donnie?
What's this song really all about?
Isn't it obvious?
You'd think it would be.
That's just it, Donnie. It isn't.
Frustrating, huh?
You bet it is.
What can we do about it?
Only one thing I can think of.
Yes?
Sing another verse.
Great idea, Eitan. What's happening to words is really quite absurd. It seems that there is nothing you can say. Our colleges are coddling. Their writing's quite disquieting. Who needs the First Amendment anyway? Just remember the left stands for lots of taxes and more rules. That it's better to give than to receive. Which is why they have no problems taking everything you've got. Deplorable as you might think it seems.
Donnie and Eitan, my wingman for the next hour. Now, one of you has a son who had to confront an anti-gun rally. Which one of you had
that? That would be me, my son Gavi.
What happened?
Well, he was frustrated that the anti-gun rally was only about being against the NRA and not actually about some of the big topics like basically school security.
Was it marketed as an anti-gun rally?
It was marketed, I guess, as the we're all walking out at 10 o'clock on this day to honor the
But it was an anti-gun rally.
It was an anti-gun rally. Mm-hmm. And so he decided to do something about it, and he put together a video, and he worked really hard on it. And he went out interviewing people and was asking them pretty logical questions like, okay, well, so you're against guns, but what happens if someone runs in with a gun? What do you do? I don't know. And it's a series of the same question asked over and over and a lot of befuddled faces because when faced with logic, suddenly, you know, the hyperbole didn't make any sense. And so he even actually stumped there was a Fox 11 reporter at one point who was like, Gavi says, well, do you see any security around here? And the guy's like, that's a good point. There is no security around here, yet there are thousands of students. So Gavi raised a really important issue, which is why isn't security in the schools as big an issue as, you know, whether or not someone is able to buy a gun or the age of that person.
It also ignores what, for me, I'm a school teacher. We go four or five times a year where we actually have to plan somebody's on campus with a gun to kill our students, and how will we stop that? And it's very depressing when you're there realizing that you might have to fling yourself in front of somebody. So for me, when there is such an overwhelming failure of law enforcement, security, they're all chanting NRA stuff. How come nobody was chanting, hey, hey, FBI, why did you let all those kids die? Which seems to be a far more relevant argument and discussion to be having because this was a catastrophic failure.
The phone
of law enforcement.
The phone number is 888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. If you'd like to talk to either Donnie or Eitan. Eitan, you teach history.
Yes.
In a public school or private school?
Private school.
Have you ever taught in public school?
Yes.
And? The difference between public and private?
I feel that in private school, I am responsible for my actions. I am judged by how well I do. I judge by how well I don't. In public school, once you got that tenure, I saw teachers that would basically check out every day, and their students didn't learn anything, and it just got frustrating and frustrating because as long as you just take that attendance, they really don't care what else you do. And I wanted to get into teaching to teach. So I do admit having job security would be nice, mm-hmm. Especially now. But having job security would be nice. But that being said, how can you truly know if you're good at your job if you've got your job not being the criteria whether you actually stay employed? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't do a good job, if your ratings don't do well, you're out of this job. You got to do something else. If a doctor does a lousy job as a doctor, they're no longer a doctor. Mechanic, same thing. But a teacher, good God, if you're in public school, you could be the worst awful teacher ever, and you stay in there, and it gets frustrating.
We have 30 seconds left in this segment. I suppose you have strong feelings about vouchers.
Yes, incredibly strong feelings about vouchers. Mm-hmm. Why aren't they everywhere? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have to have government funding of school, that is about the only way you can do it where you'll at least have a quality index, a market force that can actually get quality education.
It's interesting. We essentially have vouchers for college and beyond, but there's a no-fly zone over K through 12 for some reason. 888-971-SAGE, 888-971. Donnie and Aton are my guests. Call right now, 888-971-7243. Do not leave town.
Larry Elder, all true, all devastating. Back to the sage, Larry Elder.
Yeah, Larry, President Trump needs to be very careful having a meeting with North Korea, because it wouldn't surprise me if they would try to assassinate our president. And I think Russia would be involved, because they said that, if we go to war with North Korea, they would help North Korea. And I think, and then you got, half the people in this country don't like President Trump. You got world leaders don't like President Trump, and I think it'd be just as bad as the candy thing, except to be on different soil. And I think they need to look at this long and hard and make sure he's extra careful doing this.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. Now, thanks to men and women just like you, the Larry Elder Show Food for the Poor campaign has now raised enough donations to provide food and water for over 422 kids in Haiti. But let's keep the momentum going. We only have 7 days left. As Food for the Poor's executive director, Angel Aloma, tells us, being poor in Haiti is a whole lot more challenging than being poor here at home.
When the Lord said the poor will always be with you, it's absolutely true, because there are levels of poor. I mean, we have poor in the U.S. who receive welfare, who get food stamps, who get a free education in public schools, whose children get a free lunch in those public schools, who get government-subsidized housing and Medicaid. But they're still poor, but it's a different level of poor. So what we have to do is bring them up from the level of extreme poverty to a level where they have more chance of success. And they might still be poor, but they're poor who living in a dignified home. They're poor who have clean water to drink. They're poor who have an ability with chickens or an agricultural project or with a skill to be able to start living a more dignified life.
And right now we need your help to bring that dignity and critically needed food and water to starving children throughout Haiti during the current drought. Just call toll-free 855-918-4673. That's 855-918-HOPE. Or you can do it online, LarryElder.com. Click on the Give Life banner. That's LarryElder.com. Click on the Give Life banner. My wingmen this hour are Donnie and Aton. They are brothers. And we're talking about the hypocrisy over guns. We're talking about illegal aliens. We're talking about Trump derangement syndrome. Aton, you were talking about that they don't talk about the other side of guns, meaning?
Well, the thing that bugs me is if you're going to talk about something, and by the way, like I said, I'm a teacher. I go through drills regularly. I'm in a classroom. So it's not like I'm the biggest fan of guns. I personally don't own them. They make me nervous. The only time I ever had one was when I was in Alaska and I went hiking. You don't go hiking in Alaska without a gun. That being said, do support the Second Amendment like the other ones. I like all the Bill of Rights. Doesn't just mean the ones you happen to pick and choose.
Right.
They're all there. So just because I don't use it. But when something bad happens with a gun, and they do happen, all of a sudden you cannot. If you dare bring up the fact that overwhelmingly most guns are legal, they don't harm anybody, and the number of times guns are used to actually prevent crime, help people, keep people from being hurt, somehow you don't dare bring that up. When the numbers of people that are helped by gun ownership are massive. I'm not saying that means that you ignore all the bad things that happen, but you consider both sides.
It's amazing. I'm watching these kids from Parkland going on their tour talking about what needs to be done in order to minimize violence. Never comes up how many times Americans use firearms to prevent bad things from happening to them. It never comes up.
Not once.
Yeah, and the guy who saved that, literally saved a massacre, buried. That news is pretty much buried now. What is that, 2 days?
Oh, yes. The policeman who was on campus in Maryland, I believe
that's
it
right.
was.
That's right.
Who basically went in there and did exactly what they were supposed to do. Now, you can argue that the fact that you need policemen on campus is a rather terrible thing. Mm-hmm. You can that is a valid argument. I happen to agree with that. What is going on in our country that you need cops with guns on campus in order to prevent things like this from happening? I agree. We do need to talk about what's going on there. But you can't ignore, or you can, but you're really doing a disservice to everyone if you ignore and try to shame anybody who brings up the fact that, hey, how about all this time guns have actually helped people?
Donnie, in A10, I used to have LAPD chief, the former LAPD chief, Bernard Parks, on my show once a month. I did it for maybe a couple of years. And inevitably, this would come up. And I asked Chief Parks, how many times do Americans use firearms to defend themselves? And he said, I don't know. I said, what do you think? He said, I don't know. I said, do you have an estimate? He said, no. I said, is it relevant? He said, no. I said, it's not relevant how many Americans use guns to defend themselves as opposed to how many Americans use guns for illicit purposes? He says, no. How can you have a conversation like that?
That's incredible to me.
It blew my mind. It blew my mind.
You're a police chief. You're supposed to know that.
Yeah. Or at least have some idea. He had no idea and didn't think it was relevant. And I said, Chief, if I told you in Switzerland every household by law has a firearm plus ammunition, but they have a very low per capita murder rate, what would you say? And he said, I don't live in Switzerland.
Right. Having lived in Israel, I experienced that. I remember walking down the street one day and somebody showed me somebody who lived there said, oh, see that bullet hole over there? And he said, yeah, that was from a few years ago. You know, a terrorist pulled out a gun and he was dead within about 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. You know, that's obviously we don't live in that state, but, you know, at least that fact exists that when you have, you know, when you know that you have a well-armed population that you're not going to try anything too crazy.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. We're talking about guns and the failure of the anti-gun people to give the other side. We're also going to be talking about illegal aliens and about the Trump derangement syndrome and the different reaction between the way Trump allegedly used Facebook and the way Obama allegedly used Facebook. But first, let's go to Bob. Bob is in Tennessee. He's a school teacher as well. Bob, you're on with Donnie and Eitan. Go ahead, Bob.
I really appreciate your show. I also appreciate your guest hosts. Let me just share with you, as I teach in public schools,
my condolences.
I am totally concerned about the Hegelian dialectic that's being used against the right and against the Constitution. Hegel said the same thing that Rahm Emanuel said in Chicago, don't ever let a good crisis go to waste. Use it for your own advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Who created this crisis in the schools? It is those who created the target on us called gun-free school zones.
Yeah, you just told the person the one place they can go to do what they need to do.
Thank you.
If they want to go and kill somebody, that's where you go. It's like what happened in Texas. There's a reason that blank hole went to a church in Texas. He didn't go actually even to a school because there are a lot of schools in Texas now that actually have guns. He didn't go to a mall. He didn't go to a movie theater. He didn't go to a supermarket. He didn't even go to a DMV. He went to a church because he knew that was the one place in Texas where he could go and there wouldn't be somebody around with a gun. And as it turns out, sadly, there was somebody nearby who, thank God, was with one and was able to stop him before he could do everything he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame he got away with as much as he did.
We were talking about the officer that saved who knows how many people, and the story was like a one-day story. I interviewed a man who used a firearm to prevent a student who had shot and killed a student, another teacher, and a dean. And he went out to his car. He was an off-duty sheriff deputy, came out, pointed the gun, and then the shooter dropped the gun and people rushed and stopped the shooter. The newspaper said that the people rushed the shooter, failed to mention that this guy pointed the firearm, which caused the shooter to drop his gun, and then people rushed. And he was interviewed by a number of newspapers, and only a handful accurately described what happened. The Washington Post failed to describe what happened. There clearly was an agenda to show that use of guns for defensive purposes doesn't do any good because they didn't report this story properly. 888-971-SAG. We're talking about guns, illegal aliens, and the Trump derangement syndrome with my guests, Donnie and Eitan.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
You're listening to The Larry Elder Show.
Thank you.
Larry's father, Staff Sergeant Randolph Elder, says hard work wins. You get out of life what you put into it. And now, here's Larry Elder.
Yes, Larry, we've got a country to save. That's your slogan. We've got a if we have a country to save, why don't we start saving it? What I mean is, defiantly and brazenly, governors, city council people, mayors are thumbing their nose at the federal government. They're laughing at this administration and nothing is done. At the end of Nixon's administration, even the attorney general went to jail. I grew up in the Eisenhower era. You mentioned Orville Faubus and Kennedy with George Wallace. So take action. Individuals need to go to jail now so America and the world can see. Prosecute him. Is Nixon's the only administration where we see jail time? Do it now. So the slogan is, we've got a country to save. Thank you, sir.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. My two wingmen for the rest of the hour, Donnie and Eitan, they are brothers. They're also novelists. They've written three novels. We'll talk about their latest one in just a second. Probably four novels. I've written four books, too. Eitan, you were telling me about this... Tell me a fascinating story about a woman who went to Comic-Con and dressed up as the Whoopi Goldberg character.
Yes, Guinan, the bartender from Star Trek Next Generation.
See, I abandoned Star Trek after the television show, pretty much. I don't know these characters. But obviously Whoopi Goldberg is a black woman. The woman that came in Comic-Con is a white woman who came and put blackface on so she could look
pretty
like
much. She went to Comic-Con dressed as Guinan, and she basically wore blackface. I got to tell you, it's not something I personally would have done. If I ever wanted to be a Star Trek character, and by the way, my favorite Star Trek character by far, Ben Sisko. The captain of Deep Space Nine, Avery Brooks, phenomenal actor, happens to be black.
I remember Avery Brooks.
If I went there and didn't wear blackface, I would be Jean-Luc Picard, and he's not quite my favorite.
Right.
And I personally wouldn't do that. I would find that personally distasteful, so I wouldn't do that. But I could understand why somebody else who would actually say, you know what? I love this character. This is my favorite character, a wonderful character.
Also,
I want to be like her, and isn't this what we were going
also,
for?
Also, if you've ever gone to a Comic-Con convention, that's how people are. They come down there, they wear costumes just like their favorite character.
It's okay to be green or blue or yellow, but God forbid you show up, you know.
So what happened to the woman?
So apparently she was condemned, and pictures went out, and a lot of people were saying really horrible, nasty things about her, to which I basically said, so is it completely wrong? I approach it from two angles. One, is it completely wrong? Because isn't this what we were kind of going for? She wants to be this person, and she doesn't care that this person is black or white or green. She just really likes this character so much that she doesn't care. She wants to be like her. So isn't this kind of what we were trying to achieve all these years with, like, trying to make a society where people just look at people for who they are and what they've done? And Whoopi Goldberg, phenomenal actress, the character she played, fantastic. She added to that show wonderfully. I could see why somebody would really want to dress up and be like her at a Comic-Con. But then I approach it from the other angle, and I said, okay, so if it's wrong to do blackface, it is just wrong to do it is wrong to do that, was it wrong for the Wayans brothers to do all the things they did? So is it just wrong to do whiteface, blackface, greenface, anything?
In a movie called White Chicks.
Is it just wrong to do it? And if it is wrong, fine, then it should be condemned universally. So if you're saying it is wrong, then all right, I could see where you're saying it's just wrong to do that across the board. But what I got back was not only, no, they have every right to do whiteface if they want to, but I got back insults and yells and FUs and screw you and get off and die and stuff like that and all these things. And I was like, wait a minute, why is it wrong for one group but not the other? And then I said, look, maybe I'm getting this wrong, but that smacks to me of racism. And if you truly believe that one race can do it but the other race can't, then you're a racist. And I don't know about you, but I was raised to not like racists and not like racism and not like racist thought or racist attitudes or racist actions. And if you want to be a racist, that's fine, but you should probably admit it. And that was
you can't be a racist if you're virtuous. And if they're coming from the position of virtue and, you know.
And it wasn't like this woman was being derogatory. She was flattering Whoopi Goldberg. She was pretending to be this character.
To be honest, I've not actually seen a picture of the woman, so I cannot speak to that.
Mm-hmm.
I was approaching it more from an intellectual point of view.
Well, when Eddie Murphy dresses up like white men, he's not trying to demean them, and nobody seems to have a problem with that.
Funniest Jew I've ever seen. And by the way, the first time I saw that movie,
right,
I was shocked when it showed Eddie Murphy was the old Jewish guy. I was literally going... Whoa. I think the acting was so...
We know all Jewish guys. I think the first time I saw it, I didn't recognize that was Eddie Murphy either, the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
Talk about impressive acting, mm-hmm. for which, praise. Cool, great. Great job. I couldn't do it.
You know, it's interesting. Whoopi Goldberg once said, you ought not go to see a movie if it does not have, quote, your representation, close quote, meaning if you're black and you go to a movie and you don't see people like you, then maybe you ought not go to see that movie. This is a woman who one time was the number one actress in the country when she was doing the Sister Act movies. So a lot of white people were seeing her movies. And here she is saying to people on The View, well, if you're upset about the fact that you don't see your representation, maybe you ought not go. That way, I guess, would force Hollywood to put more people of color in films. Can you believe this?
I'm Team Jaffe Joffer, ruler of Zamunda.
You have every right to believe that. You have every right to believe that's what you want. But it's a racist attitude. It is racist. If she said that, then she said something that was a racist statement that she made. Why does she get away with it?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Not that I'm not going to stop seeing her movies or seeing, I think she's phenomenal, but call it what it is.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. My wingmen are Donnie and Eitan. We're talking about guns. We're talking about racism. We're talking about the Trump derangement syndrome. We're going to be talking about illegal aliens in a minute. They've written four novels. And we come back, we're going to be talking about your fourth novel.
America, we have a country to save. And now, here's Larry Elder.
Hey, Larry, this is Jerry from Long Beach. This kid, David Hogg, is so full of crap, he spits brown. He talks about white privilege. White privilege is only extended if people give it to you. I'm brown. I don't have brown privilege. I earn my privilege by the work that I do and by the sweat that I put in and the effort that I put in, and that is my reward. As for David Hogg being rich, buddy, your parents may be rich, but you are about as dirt poor as anybody else.
Yeah. I think that the other important thing to realize is I'm not only going after the politicians here. I do see the fault with the FBI. I do see fault with the local PD. But realize what these politicians are trying to do, what Marco Rubio has tried doing recently, is shifting the blame off of him onto these people. And realize, these politicians are the bosses of these government agencies, and they too, just as much, are at fault, because they need to oversee these groups and make sure that they're doing their job correctly, because when they don't, we see instances like my school happen.
Is there a brain in there?
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. A very special offer for Larry Elder listeners, 50% off the four-pack, which includes two premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows. So if you're looking for an amazing night's sleep, make your move, 800-890-1843. Use promo code Larry, or you can do it online, mypillow.com. Again, use promo code Larry. My wingmen for the rest of this hour, Donnie and Eitan, they are also, among other things, novelists. They've written four novels. They brought in their first one. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But first, a couple people want to talk to you. Chris is in Dallas, Texas. Chris, you're on with Donnie and Eitan and Larry.
Thanks, Larry. Hey, I just had a question, Larry. Maybe you can help me to understand. In terms of gun control, you know, I know everybody always targets and they always say that guns are killing all these people and all these things are having fatalities, crimes and whatever here in the U.S. Why is the U.S. population never considered? I mean, we're 4, 5, 6, even 10 times larger than other countries, yet they don't get the same type of media attention. You know, that's happening here in the U.S.
Gentlemen? John Lott has done a lot of research on this and talked about per capita murder rates and per capita crime. And if you look at the whole world, we're probably in the middle. You have countries like Brazil that have very stringent gun control. And by the way, in Brazil, they're now considering loosening their anti-gun laws because of all the crime.
All the crime and
here,
death.
Here's a headline, Bloomberg. People are ready to buy some guns in the world's murder capital.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I wonder why. I distrust some of those statistics because, yes, if you take all gun deaths, absolutely. But what a lot of people do is they take all people who died by a gun, but it's kind of disingenuous because they put the suicides in there.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've discovered in countries where they've completely banned guns, suicide rates are pretty much equal to the United States rates. Because guess what? If somebody wants to kill themselves and there doesn't happen to be a gun around, they'll find something else. So to blame the gun for the suicide, I don't think is – I think that's a little bit disingenuous. If you really want true – the guns that have actually gone out and killed people alone. Because if someone's going to kill themselves, but you say that it's a gun crime.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was a tool. And in England, they don't have guns. So, by the way, suicide rate's pretty comparable. In fact, I think a tad higher. And I'm not positive on that. But – they don't use guns. So I think if you're going to actually use gun violence, you got to take all the suicides out of that statistic to start to get a better measure of how much death are guns as guns responsible for.
Yeah, I think the Wall Street Journal had an article a few weeks ago just about how skewed those numbers are. In fact, if a gun goes off in a parking lot, that's a school shooting. Mm-hmm. Somebody kills themselves on campus or near campus, you know, that's considered a school shooting, and it all gets wrapped up into a nice, tidy headline for the media.
And in the Maryland case, apparently the teen that shot the other team did so because they had a personal relationship. So I'm not sure you put that in the same category as somebody who comes in with a gun and just starts mowing down people.
Honestly, I would. If someone brings a gun on campus and starts shooting people on campus, me personally, maybe it's because I'm a teacher, but yeah, that counts as a school shooting as far as I'm concerned.
I'm just saying the motive is different. That's all I'm saying.
It is, mm-hmm. But it's still a school shooting.
It's still a gun-free zone.
Yeah.
Jim is in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Jim, you're on with Donnie and Eitan.
Yes, I just wanted to say that since most nowadays, driving while texting has killed more people than DUI, and that most of those people doing that are under the age of 25. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't we put an age limit on how old a person needs to be in order to have a cell phone?
Yeah, we ought to have some text control.
That's right.
Absolutely.
You were talking about the Facebook controversy. And how Donald Trump is being hammered, yet Barack Obama did the same thing in 2012 and got praised for it.
Oh, he didn't do the same thing in 2012. Barack Obama basically did, I don't know, 5 to 10 times more than what they're saying Trump did. Barack Obama's campaign went to Facebook and Google, went to the headquarters, was given a lot of information and a lot of access, and then thanked. And then after the election, you can listen to Maxine Waters, you can listen to a bunch of other people saying how brilliant they were for basically going in and doing all this social organization stuff where they went ahead and with the networking and look at what they did and look how smart we are. And yet Donald Trump does almost what seems like 1/5 or even 1/10 of it.
And they're calling it a data breach.
It's a data breach. It's the most awful thing. And like Zuckerberg's got to apologize because what? You're annoyed that the Democrats did it? You're annoyed that what the Democrats could do with your help? The Republicans figured out how to do without your help, and now it's a problem?
Well, they also – the big mea culpa after those elections was that the Republicans said, we got to be as good as Obama's team was, and we got to actually up our game. And so they went and upped their game, and now they're actually being blamed for having done so.
Mark is in Minneapolis. Mark, you're on with Donnie and Eitan and Larry.
Hey, Larry. Thank you so much for taking my call. You're one of my favorite radio hosts. I mean, you and Dennis Prager, those are my two. I just have a question. Maybe you can help me out with it. It's really hurting my family a lot. So my nephew, he's a mixed race, white and black. My sister had him when she was a teenager. He's grown up all in a white family. We're all either cops or military or something like that. He's always been super great. And when he reached 10th grade, he's a senior now, but when he reached 10th grade, his father came into his life and his biological father. His biological father is kind of like a bit of a thug, kind of that mentality, the rap artist mentality. And now, I mean, all of a sudden his grades are, he's probably not going to be able to graduate high school right now. And now his whole ambition is playing basketball as a superstar. And he's like 5'0", so there's no way that's happening. He's not Bugsy.
Okay, Mark, we got it. We're going to answer that on the other side. Donnie and Eitan, I want you to comment on that when we come back. 888-971-SAGE.
All across America, The Larry Elder Show. Setting fire to the airwaves, it's The Larry Elder Show.
Columbus, Ohio, we just had a verdict for a guy who kidnapped, brutally raped, and murdered a young girl, got life in prison. So we'll now have to pay for his lodging, his food, all his medical. That must be what the little twit in California means by reparations. Thanks a lot. Bye.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. My last few minutes with my wingmen, Donnie and Eitan. Mark had just asked a question, Donnie. It's got a nephew who was doing well, and his nephew's father has now reentered his life, I think in the 10th grade, and is now, he doesn't study as hard, seems to be more interested in sports and academics, and he wants to know what possibly he could do about it.
Well, I mean, I have, teenagers, so I can tell you that any opportunity to rebel against, your values, your family's values, they're going to go for it and they're going to test out. So I suspect what's happening here is that, he was raised a certain way. This new person came into his life and he gravitated towards what, his biological father was telling him, which was against the values of where he came from. But I would say this, that living through teenagers now, this is a phase. There may be more rebellion to this than actual intent, and so I would probably wait it out. If his parents were good and solid, and they created, as I would call, like good soup, he'll get past it.
Talk to me about your novels. This is your first novel, The Unincorporated Man.
Yes,
and it won the Prometheus Award, which is
basically the.
It's the Libertarian Futurist Society, and this won the Prometheus Award for Best Science Fiction Novel of the Year, and basically. They give the awards out to people who best talk about the idea of freedom. Mm-hmm. Robert Heinlein, for example, received that award. Larry Niven,
Wow.
Yeah.
That, as my mom would say, is tall cotton. The Unincorporated Man by Donnie Collin and Eitan Collin, K-O-L-L-I-N.
Yep. You can learn all about it at Collin Brothers, thecollinbrothers.com.
What's the novel about?
It's about 400 pages. I'm playing all week. Bring your friends.
That's right.
Yeah, so we basically...
Is that a cashmere or a hen weigh? What's a hen weigh? About 3 pounds. Yeah.
It's essentially, every page is about what price freedom. But it takes this idea that if you could buy and sell shares of yourself on the New York Stock Exchange, what would that look like? And imagine a world where everybody did that. And imagine somebody waking up into this world where he owned nobody and nobody owned him.
See, the problem with capitalism... Straight out, is capitalism is amoral. It's not that it's evil. It just doesn't care about you. Mm-hmm. So it'll basically wipe you out to make a 3-cent profit on a quarterly report.
Somebody once said, the problem with capitalism is not an ism. It's what people do when you leave them alone. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in. Thank you for your substantial donation to the Salvation Army. God bless you.
Thanks, Larry.
Awesome. Thank you, Larry.
The Unincorporated Man. You can see it on Amazon.com and also on
ColinBrothers.com.
ColinBrothers.com. K-O-L-L-I-N Brothers.com. I'm Larry Elder. Don't
All
leave town.
All across America, The Larry Elder Show.